Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity, of course, to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So as you can imagine, there's an awful lot going on in these markets. So it's up to us to sort of get our head around some of the market and the shifting fundamentals and see how they are likely to impact any of our decision making. So we're actually still presently in trades now for over a week, which is a little bit unusual in many ways, but under the circumstances, it's also right now seems to be what's required. And there's some political, let's say, economies are going to have political issues moving forward, like the French economy, for example, is a really good example of that. And if politicians don't sort of find a way forward, then you've got this sort of political vacuum in which we need to operate, which is it's obviously a bit of a dangerous position. It's not really a productive environment, and therefore might have an impact on things like the euro. So we want to be mindful of these things. However, there is this buy everything rally, which we've been referring to on many, many occasions, and very little is able to kind of impact that overall market dynamic, which means, you know, any sort of, for now, any significant pullback in equity markets, for example, are always likely to be opportunities to buy. And it's really about being able to understand the overall dynamics, capital flows, and then I suppose allowing markets to do what they're very effective at doing. And there is this sort of buy everything type mentality, and that's really the sentiment or the phase that we're in at the moment. It's remarkably bullish, and what we're really looking for now is reasons for us to shift that position. And we've got a government shutdown in the US, which you think would be horrendous news for markets. Actually, pretty much in line with our expectations, we thought it'd be it was likely to impact these markets very, very little. The reasons being, we've been here so many times before, you can even experience a government shutdown in the US for the last time out was, I think, 5 weeks. So this can go on for a long period of time. And of course, you know, it's devastating for those employees that are either furloughed or let go. There's worries and concerns that the US administration will take this opportunity to actually get rid of a large cohort of government workers. So, you know, there's lots of aspects to this which are quite concerning for the broader economy. So it's hard to know really whether the US administration currently would welcome this kind of disruption. Does it strangely feed into whatever their agenda happens to be? And it's a difficult one to answer. It's a really sort of strange series of policies, and the whole situation with Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump, with all the generals sitting in a room, and it was very weird. We've got elements of these markets that are, while I suppose people are trying to get their head around kind of where we're at and what's really happening at the moment, investors are just doing one thing, and that's just pumping money in. With a lot of money sitting on the sidelines as well, that must be said. So to say we couldn't get, you know, significant upside, it's probably not the case. And the pivot for us was when the central bank, Jerome Powell, leaned into these asset prices and put a match underneath the potential for even more upside. And that's all they managed to do. And that's really why our bias in markets like the indices is just only upwards. we might get a little bit of a technical sort of rollover, but we know really what we want to be doing with these markets. We know the direction in which we want to trade them. And it's just really about looking for repeated opportunities to get into these trades. Right. And that's what we'll do this week. Right. Just as a quick introduction, all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk, of course? Trade management as well, along with trading psychology, all very, very important features of trading markets. And we'll address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms. And we're strong advocates of maintaining a high degree of consistency in our approach, accuracy with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's start with a review of potential market moving news then. So for this, we'll bring up... So just here at the top, US government data may be impacted by the shutdown. Tentative events are subject to delays, revisions, or cancellation. So that's the strange position we find ourselves in. And we're really flying blind. So we don't really have, you know, the economic data flow that we would normally expect to see as to whether they do fundamentally support massive moves higher, or whether the data that underpins these moves begins to shift and change. So it's a bank holiday in Australia and China for the day. Christine Lagarde, due to testify before the Committee on Economic and Monetary Affairs, European Parliament. So that'll be important as far as the euro is concerned and European equities. And we'll be hearing from the governor of the Bank of England as well, due to speak at Scotland's Global Investment Summit in Edinburgh. Okay, so just a quick flick through the news events. Again, unfortunately, we're without the US data, pretty much. Christine Lagarde as well. Is she business finance in Paris? Audience questions. There's a little bit of talk about, you know, would she take the role of prime minister in France? And I don't think she would. She wants to run as far away as possible from that. We've got a few central bankers this week, and we've got potentially the RBNZ looking to cut rates from 3% to 3.75. Due to speak at the Paris Europlace Forum in Tokyo. Okay, so a few central bankers. We're going to get the meeting minutes, FOMC meeting minutes on Wednesday. Unemployment claims, don't know why it's penciled in here twice. And they're suggesting that we get last week's numbers as well as this week's numbers today, on Thursday, if they resolve the issues with the government shutdown. It's quite unlikely. There's Fed Jay Powell in here as well due to deliver opening remarks, pre-recorded video at the Community Bank Conference. Okay. And then we're just going to close out the week. You can see it's been, I see what they're doing now. They're kind of postponing the major news events and sort of piling them up, it seems. But that depends as to whether the US government will be back on track. So, We don't really have a huge amount of news this week. A few central bankers, which would be quite interesting. Interesting to get their sort of opinion on certain aspects of these markets. So let's have a good look in terms of where we're at. So we got a strong sell-off on Friday, sort of late day move. We were up at these all-time highs, of course. And what we could do now is we can just move this level up, seemingly on an hourly basis almost at the moment. So continuing to make new highs. And there's no reason to suggest why that wouldn't continue despite sort of Friday's freak out. So look, you get a lot of sustained buying and then you get a bit of a panic and then you get sustained buying, a little bit of a panic, sustained buying, panic, sustained buying. So I'm sure we will get some further downside, but the overall bias is very much to the upside. So quite good entries in the S&P and the NASDAQ. We're still currently in the euro dollar and the dollar Swiss. you can see that they are sort of moving in the opposite direction. So we've got a very bullish bias in these markets, and I'll demonstrate that. So we've got a sort of a bearish view, really. Our bias would be very much to the downside for markets like the dollar Swiss. And what we saw here is the potential for further downside below $62. We're looking to expect US oil to continue to make its progress to the downside. We had, over the weekend, we did have OPEC Plus agree to increasing supplies, perhaps not quite as much as the market would anticipated. As a result, it kind of gapped higher and looked like it was going to rally and stuff. We would certainly be structural sellers still for now when it comes to US oil. So let's see how that plays out. And to just leave you with our directional bias around everything else, it's pretty much to the upside. Did get a pull back into strong support there on Friday night, and our bias is still further upside. And actually same in markets like the euro dollar. We think we're far more interested in. And last week was a strange week for a lot of the currency pairs, because we didn't really get any significant reaction there off the dollar. And of course, our bias in gold is only upwards. And it's really an unbelievable move at this stage. Just to have a quick look at some of the bond markets. So not too sure what this says. I mean, we're kind of way off the highs, 366. We have the lows in here of the 350. We're literally halfway. The bias is a little bit more leaning to the downside, which we think has the potential to support. This little short-term little rally, we think, is just that short-term. We think that these rates are very much short-term. So that's the 2 year. Where's the 10 year? Let's get the 10 year up. Yeah. So just to compare and contrast, this is the 10 year and a little bit of a positive bounce, but you can see we rolled over there on Friday. This morning, now we're kind of rallying a little bit with the expectation for it to further roll over to the downside. So that's, and the differential is kind of narrowing a little bit, let's say 360. So that's 50. What are we, 56 basis points differential between the two and the 10 year. We had increased that quite considerably. So there's a bit of a bullish momentum here short term. We do eventually think that this will roll over to the downside, unless there's something kind of structural going on here. But for now, we're still in this risk-on camp. So let's continue to see how we get on with these trades. And we're definitely in a position now where we can fully remove risk, certainly across the S&P and the NASDAQ. And we've actually got really good, solid entries in the euro dollar and the dollar Swiss. And obviously, that's just making the assumption that we've done our due diligence and our homework, and we're just certainly still leaning on the euro dollar being up at sort of 118, 119, 120 at some point. And the same for the dollar Swiss. The bias is very much to the downside. We're getting a bit of a short-term rally for now. So again, can we be patient to sort of get these markets to where we want to go? We were on Friday, Thursday and Friday of last week, we were saying, look, if we break these highs, we kind of rally up to 118, we'd be taking profit up at these levels. Friday, it looked like we were going to get there, didn't quite get there at all. Same with the dollar Swiss. We were looking to break these lows. That would mean that all of these buyers would start to exit this position, and that would create a lot more momentum to the downside, we would anticipate. So we're still on a risk on market dynamic. We don't really have a huge amount, especially with the government shutdown. We don't really have a huge amount of change as far as that's concerned. So price is not particularly performing for us so far this morning, but we think it's probably likely to do. And our bias is to the downside for US oil and dollar Swiss still, and our bias is to the upside in markets like the S&P, NASDAQ, and the euro dollar. And it would be lovely if we had some sort of pullback to get into gold. It's just, it's gone. So your only option is really to buy all-time highs. And some people are quite comfortable doing that. It's psychologically, it's a difficult, because we're looking for a nice, and it's really the exposure that's the problem. So if you buy all-time highs, you generally got really, really wide stop loss. And we would be looking for a stop loss of like $15, $20, and you might need to go $30, $40, $50. And that's too much from an exposure perspective. Now, it continues to make new highs and things like that. So it can make you look very, very silly. Like, our bias has never shifted for gold. It was always been to the upside. Getting into it from a day trading perspective, investing is slightly different. It's a different opportunity because you'd be getting in at 3,900 with the expectation that we'd be rallying up to 4,500, for example. But day trading is a different question. Okay, so listen, on that note, thanks very much for joining us. We'll wrap it up there. We've got, I suppose, further continuation on this broad-based risk on market dynamics. So let's see if there's anything needed here. So broad-based risk on market conditions due to a dovish Fed are driven by worsening ADP numbers and a strong capital-fueled AI rally, despite US government shutdown. Yeah, and this capital-fueled AI rally is remarkably impressive. We're talking about absolutely massive numbers. So US indices strength, dollar weakness, gold strength awaiting a pullback, and US oil weakness below 8180, which I think we're still technically below that 6180. And keeping options open, of course, things are kind of quite volatile. So things can change pretty quick. We're going to, try to navigate these conditions as best we can, and getting in and out is probably quite a difficult position. You can see the euro dollar, which is one of the world's largest markets, in a sideways moving pattern. It looks like it's breaking to the downside now. We're still looking for euro strength. I suppose there is concern around the political situation in France, so that could cause a bit of euro weakness. At some point, it'll probably bring some capital back into the euro once there's some sort of resolution to that. So no real need to change any of our directional biases in these markets. And as a result, we can continue to manage these open positions. So our risk on view is more driven by a dovish Fed still. Due to that weaker employment number, we've got lots of positive economic data, like growth at 3.8%. And this AI rally, which is remarkably impressive, the amount of numbers and capital that's being discussed is historic, really, in many ways. So we'll see how all this plays out. In the meantime, we're looking for the indices to move higher, dollar to move lower, US bond yields to roll back over to the downside. At the minute, they're just looking a little bit more positive than negative, but we think it'll turn. And then commodities like gold is only really upside. US oil is a slightly different market, so we'll keep an eye on that. Right, on that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us. Yeah, let's continue to just see how these markets play out. And and I'll post today's trade chat. Whoops, let me do that again. Sorry, need to do that one more time. Okay, so we can still maintain a little bit of calm, really, and let's see how these markets play out over the course of the day. Great stuff. Listen, on that note, guys, thanks very much for joining us. Those of you that are joining us for the European Trading Session, we'll broadcast in there in about a minute's time. So we'll see you there very shortly. Everyone else, thanks for joining us as always. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.